Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
That's right. Now. It's Loveline. Here we are again. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Welcoming back Danny Bonaducci for another quiet evening of enjoyment and discussion.
Thank you, Dr.
And,
Drew.
And in the room with us tonight also, as well as his lovely wife, Gretchen. Thank you, Gretchen, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I think you were such a part of that show and such a part of who Danny is. I thought, we got to get Gretchen here and see her perspective on all this, too. Because he certainly gave us last night your perspective.
Yeah.
now it'd be nice
which
to get it
from
you.
Which isn't accurate.
Well, you never know. You never know. But, yeah, it was very colorful. Very colorful. Yeah,
I tell a colorful story.
You do. He is. And so how's this feel to have your life on TV all the time?
I'm really proud of the show because
I have
seen it. You know, we're
executive producing. Danny won't watch it, right?
We won't watch it, yeah. No. But we are executive producing the show, so I felt like one of us needed to watch it. And I'm very proud of it.
How about the therapy sessions where you're in there sort of really in sort of, it's kind of quasi-therapy anyway. It's not real.
Well, he's a real-life therapist.
But, I mean, but what he's doing is not the usual therapy. You feel okay about that? Does that feel intrusive?
No, I was all about it. And I wanted it to be really honest. And I tried not to edit myself at all and say exactly what I wanted to say. Even if I knew it was going to hurt his feelings, it had to be honest. So I just tried to do that. And you saw what happened.
Right.
I mean,
I, of course, on the other hand, thought this guy was a punk-ass bitch and told him so.
Because he was siding with your wife?
Yes.
Yes.
But that's the thing about being kind of crazy, you know, because I really had some kind of meltdown. Oh, man, you know, I was just reading today that Chopin would never go into a room except left foot forward. Everybody's got their thing, okay?
Right. Yes.
So I went a little crazy.
It doesn't usually include carjacking, but I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So I went a little crazy and had a little bit of a breakdown, but I don't feel like this doctor was trying to serve my best interest.
Do you think the cameras influenced him?
I think the cameras influenced everything. Everybody says it didn't, and it's the company line is to say the cameras didn't influence anything, but that's not true.
Well, I did a thing once where I was following my treatment of a heroin addict through treatment, and the cameras helped him because he knew the camera was always wrong, and it motivated him to make some better choices.
Absolutely did not sleep with anyone I'm not married to the entire time there were cameras there.
Rare week for you, rare 10 weeks.
Unbelievable.
So, and Gretchen, do you go to Al-Anon now? Do you involve some sort of therapeutic process still?
I have gone, and I didn't really find that it was for me. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing for some people.
You still have a therapist?
We haven't really been
for
in
you,
a while.
For you, not we. For you.
No, I don't. Mm-mm.
Because somehow this came up last night. I forget the context. We were talking about you taking care of yourself. And I asked, you know, as Gretchen, because you got to grow together, you know, separately, but together.
Right.
And it's important that you keep up with him. I mean,
I don't want to keep up with him.
Just because the way his motor runs. I mean, emotionally, in terms of growing forward. He's grown a lot in the last 6 months, right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I'm very proud of him.
They said that in rehab, Doc. They said it was surprising to me because, you know, every now and again, because my moods change by the moment.
Yes,
you know,
rapid cycle.
Yeah, literally, I change by the second. And I would be agreeing with these people and they'd be looking at me like I was strange. I'd say, don't put yourself down. Some of this stuff is actually working. And the next thing I know, they're telling my wife, you know what? He's growing.
Yes.
And if you don't grow with him, there's going to be the same chasm there is now, just with a different guy on top.
Right. Have you heard that, Gretchen?
Yes, I have.
That does happen. It's what we worry about relationships surviving recovery as well as addiction, because the codependent sort of, it's not that you want them ill, but you're used to them being a certain fit. And when they grow, they're a different person.
Yeah.
And you kind of pull them back to the way they used to be when they fit better with you.
Well, I know when he came out of rehab the first time, and it was really weird because he was just a different guy. You know, he was very quiet, and he's not a quiet guy. And
how dare you? Quiet, Danny? I don't know.
And I was struggling to figure out what is my place here now. Mm. You know, I've always made all the decisions, and now what do I do? And so it was very difficult, but I'm just so proud of him.
Specific, when we say she makes all the decisions and things, I don't have a bank account. I don't own anything. I don't own a home. I don't own a car. I own nothing.
How did you guys meet?
I haven't made a decision since 1990.
Wait, you got married the first day you met, right?
We did.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. I'm looking over here at Michelle. They met in Phoenix or something?
Yeah, we went on a blind date.
And he wanted to have sex, and the only way you're going to do that is if married. And right? So he took you on your word.
Dude,
and
you know what, though? I mean, if you think of that, if you're a real man, I mean a real
me
man.
Me personally? Okay, or
in general,
yes.
Anybody out there in their car or whatever, listening to this moment and going, damn right, if all she wants is to get married and she's going to give it to you, not that much to ask.
I think it's something in my DNA. I think every 5 years I have to do something insane, like marry someone on the first date, buy real estate in a foreign country. You know, I think it just makes me feel alive if I do something really crazy.
Danny, sidebar here a second. She's bipolar, too. Not just she has big, long cycles, 5 years. Yeah. See, you're every 5 minutes. Yeah. She's every 5 years.
Five. That's okay. Just a long time for me.
So anyway, here we go. We'll take some calls. How about that?
I'm glad.
You ready
that.
For this, Gretchen? You familiar with how this show works?
Yeah, absolutely.
Huge fans of
the very
show.
Kind. It's a pleasure to have you here. Let's see what we got here. All right, here we go. This is now Jenny, who's 22. Jenny?
We got Norway last night.
We just heard from Norway calling. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Hi, Jenny.
That's cool.
Hello.
Oh, my God. I'm actually speaking to Danny Bonaduce.
Actually, the cable star now, Danny Bonaduce. And we were talking last night that I was offended on his behalf when the sort of the television writers go, hey, he used to be this guy in the Partridge Family. Been gone forever.
Yeah, like I vanished.
That's weird,
ladies and gentlemen,
it?
Guy was a radio star in Los Angeles. He had two television shows. What?
You're overly kind,
Dr.
Thank you.
All right,
but
so what's up?
We also had the discussion that anybody that's done anything huge that they can never accomplish again is a has-been. Therefore, every single ex-president has been. All washed up. Okay, Jenny, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Yes, well, I had a question. I actually have been experiencing some orgasm problems in bed, and I was wanting to ask about it.
Here you go.
The only orgasm problem I can see is not having one.
That's
or
one.
Having it be painful in some way.
Well, it has been my upper uterus region has when I feel an orgasm, I'll have a sharp pain and then I will start bleeding. Well, not like heavy bleeding, but
all right. So that's a sign that there's sort of some inflammation in the uterus or some instability of the lining. Birth control pills can cause that. Are you on birth control?
I'm on Depo.
Oh, Depo.
You're on Depo. Well,
so that can definitely do it. Did you bleed for the first 3 months you were on the shot?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that screws up, does all kinds of wild things to your periods, right? You bleed for 3 months straight, and then you don't have your periods at all after that, typically.
Also, it is not completely unheard of to get a bloody nose. Did you know that?
From Depo, because of the dryness?
Yeah,
the
it's
drying.
Not unheard of to get a bloody nose at all from Depo.
Interesting. And then Depo Provera in general can affect your sex drive and orgasmic function. Have you noticed that?
Well, I'm actually having second thoughts on the Depo period because I went to the doctor.
I think that's reasonable, by the way.
It is reasonable. You ever taken a Depo shot, Gretchen?
I haven't, no.
It has a lot of side effects. Yeah. It's very effective, and it sort of had an impact on teen pregnancy because it's only have to take it once every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it can decrease your sex drive. It can cause orgasmic dysfunction, cause a lot of depression, irritability, that kind of stuff.
It can also cause you to be one step away from sterilization.
No.
It makes me very nervous.
No. Not having your period does not mean you're...
No. I mean that you have that shot, and all of a sudden you inflict it upon a certain segment of society. That makes me very nervous. Mm-hmm. When that first came out, I got very nervous for what are considered troubled areas in the world.
Karen, 23.
Yes.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I wanted to ask you guys, I have painful intercourse.
Good times.
My doctor told me that I have a tilted uterus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't really know what I can do. He said I could try different positions. I don't know.
Are you a Mormon?
Well, Karen, I may have some help for you right here. You ready?
Okay.
Meet my wife, who also has a tilted uterus.
Ah, thank you.
Everything's
honey.
Open. Everything's open for discussion on this show, Gretchen. So, you put yourself into the seat here.
Well, I mean, Karen's calling up. She's got a serious problem, and wife has it.
It's
she's
a common
right
thing.
Here.
It's a very common thing.
So, well, I asked my doctor. You know, I have painful intercourse every time I have sex.
All right, there's two discussions to have here. First, let's do the tilted uterus thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What do you do about that?
I think you just have to try different positions until you find something that's really comfortable.
That's typically what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you having pain with deep penetration? Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Oh, then I'm your guy.
Well, liar.
You'll be fine.
Such a liar.
No. I won't be because my boyfriend, he's large, and so...
All right, so you got
to... I haven't been able to find a position at all.
All right, so is it with penetration or only when things are in deep?
It's with both.
Yeah, so this is an anatomical mismatch, yeah. really, and mm-hmm. lubrication is important, position is important, taking it right. slow and easy, and some people, it's a deal breaker. Right. And we get many more calls about too big on this show than too small.
Wow, that is interesting.
Sorry.
And it makes me very happy.
Danny.
Makes me really happy.
I did it. I got it in there for you. Okay?
Thank you.
I got it.
Right on.
Okay, here we go. All right, this is Ann, who's 26. Ann?
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Ann.
Hi. I drive home, a 3-hour drive every night, and I listen to your show, and it really keeps me awake. So, but here's my problem, okay? I've been married for 5 years to my husband, and recently, in the past 2 months, his brother-in-law has been calling me a lot. We've had some family issues going on with his dad, and so we've had to been talking back and forth. Well, he's been making advances at me on the phone. And
I mean, hang on a second, Ann. Just keep that music going, Anderson. That's good. So is it when you're driving that 3-hour drive, he calls you and starts talking dirty to you kind of thing?
No, he does it when I'm at home, too. I mean, he called me tonight while I was at school, and I didn't answer the phone, so...
And it's your father-in-law?
No, it's the brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
There's the father-in-law sick or something.
Okay. And where are you from?
I'm from Arkansas.
The reason I ask is because we had a call last night from a young man who said, I'm a Chicano, and it's kind of natural for us to sleep with our mother-in-laws. And I said, I don't think that's true at all.
There he is. There
I'm laying there, like, I'm on my bed, and I wake up, and she's licking on my nipples, dude.
And I'm like, you know what? We got Ann from Arkansas. I just think we've got a national epidemic going on.
I just got done listening to that show, and so I heard that, and I was cracking up the whole time I was listening. I was
all right, and what the hell? Come on, Ann, it's your brother-in-law. Tell him to lay off.
Yeah.
Well, I told him, but I don't want to cause any chaos. I've told my husband about it, and he's like, well, just... Tell him to quit doing it.
Oh, come on.
If you told your husband, it should have been a closed matter.
Right,
now.
That's it. You've done what you need to do.
If my wife came to me and said, so-and-so is hitting on me and I don't like it, that would be that and it would never happen again.
And imagine this was a family member.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't like many of them.
Wow. This is now Candy, who's 22. Candy?
Hello?
Hey, Candy. What's going on? You're on Loveline. Hang on. It's Danny Bonaducci. Breaking Bonaducci's the show. I haven't had a chance to set up your show yet. We're going to do a couple things here. Hang on a second, Candy. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. And just like we did last night, we're all going to pile on to VH1.com and show the power of the Loveline listening audience and vote for Danny.
Yay.
For big in 05 awards. He's going to win that one just
right
because
on.
Of Loveline.
That'd be awesome. That'd be cool.
Because of Loveline. All right, Candy, what's going on?
I have a suspicion that what I'm doing would be considered abusing exercise.
Yes.
That happens. Yeah. I do it.
Yeah, you exercise bulimic? Yeah, that's a tough one. It's interesting that you would even call and be thinking about it, because most people with exercise bulimia absolutely deny it.
And don't know they've got it, because they think they're doing something good for them.
It's so reinforced. The trainers tell you're doing a good thing. You look great.
I'm 46 years old. I'm 6% body fat. So I think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I'm a member of 3 gyms, and the reason? Because I don't want any one of them to know how much I work out.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
You've got so many problems,
well,
I know.
Hang on, let's talk about that. I mean, there's a positive byproduct, right? He looks great, he feels great, that kind of thing. But it keeps him away, right? It must be frustrating. Like, you're always working out. Why aren't you ever at home having dinner with me?
Sometimes, but it's a good one. You know, I'd rather he was doing something healthy, like working out, versus other things. So.
Yeah, and I'll tell you
other habits do you have?
Are you kidding? And the cool thing is about gyms these days, I was just talking to this about somebody, because Gretchen has no faith in me. Like if you said, I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'll just ask the
question.
Am
I wrong?
I'll just ask the question. Gretchen, do you trust me at all?
I don't, but okay. I'm getting close to it.
And you'd be foolish.
With me not being sober.
Trust me with my past record. You would.
Yeah.
Gyms are not what they were. Man, chicks, you go look at some hot chick at the gym, she growls at you.
Oh, really?
They're actually there to work out. Yeah. It's not the 80s with Olivia Newton-John.
They're
pumping iron.
They're exercise bulimics, too. They're busy working out their disease. So you know, this, again, when you get compulsive behaviors, whether it's exercise, shopping, sex, stealing, all that stuff, that's all, you're doing all that. It's all part of the part of your brain that's active in addiction, pushing you forward. So it's something you got to learn to moderate. So, Candy, what's going on with you?
Well, I replaced smoking with exercise, so
just one
addictive behavior with another.
How many hours a day are you exercising?
I'll exercise sometimes for 4 hours straight, or, you know, do 2 or 3 hours a couple times during the day. I actually got an exercise bike and a Nautilus machine for my house because they were asking me to leave the gym.
Whoa.
After, okay.
After 2 or 3 hours on the treadmill, they'd be like, okay, you need to go now.
Wow, do they do that?
Yeah, they do because they know. This is not a rarity. Candy, as interesting as she is not a rarity at all. And the people like, my main gym that I hang out at, because everybody works hard, is Gold's. I go there. And those guys, if you see a girl on a treadmill for her second hour, you know that's an exercise bulimic right there. That person's going to drop dead of a kidney failure right on your treadmill.
And Candy, did you have a more sort of, let's call it, traditional eating disorder in the past?
No, I've never had a problem with eating disorders. I mean, I eat regularly now. It's just,
are you a trauma survivor?
I was raped when I was 11, but
that's what we call trauma. That's okay. Sexual abuse, and there we go. So maybe we ought to really work on that, and maybe if you get some treatment for that, some of these exercise compulsions will settle down a bit. What do you think? Yes?
Possibly.
That would be good. Yes.
You know what you could do?
You're getting too much out. You know what? That little pause we just had there is a sign that you're getting too much out of this.
Right, that she doesn't want out.
Yeah, it's working too well for you right now. So you're going to have to really hurt yourself before you're going to listen to things
like
that.
A lot of drug addicts that I know used to get as much of a kick out of setting up the drugs they were
going
to do.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, the ritual.
Than actually doing the drugs. The ritual, right?
The ritual is very gratifying
right.
to people.
Do you think it might work for her if she took her caloric intake, figured it out on paper, programmed it into a treadmill, and ran that off, which would probably take 45 minutes per meal?
Yeah, you know what? What you're suggesting is really the kind of direction that some of what would be done to help her would be to create some structure. Mm-hmm. To create, have her see a dietitian and then follow their direction. And that's one of the hardest things to do, right, is to follow, trust somebody and take right. direction from them. I just gave you a direction. You went, well, we'll see about that.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, come on. So, well, so she's not ready, and there you go. She knows
when
what
you're
she's
not
got.
And boy, if anybody in the room knows when you're not ready, because
I've told you. That's Gretchen.
Yeah, that's Gretchen.
She's the one that knows. Alyssa, what's going on? You're 21.
Yeah, I have this weird, I don't know if it's a fetish or what it is really, but my boyfriend, we've been dating for about a year now, and every time we have sex, I want him to pretend that I'm a guy and that it's kind of hard to explain.
No, it's not. Because, by the way, just so you can relax a little bit, this is not rare.
Oh, really? This is the one for me.
No, it's not new for me.
Well, just saying.
I've never heard of it.
She's never heard of it. I'm an old guy.
This is all new to me.
I've been around. All right, so he wants you to be the man, right?
No, she wants... She wants
He doesn't want. He doesn't want to do it. Like he was a drug addict for a while, and so he would have sex with men for drugs. But he's straight.
Has he had an HIV test?
Yeah, he's fine.
He's not. He's just not HIV positive.
Yeah. Well, so he hasn't done that in a while. But I like whenever we have sex, it really turns me on when he describes having sex with other men to me, like. The thing that turns me on the most about it is when he tells me how much he didn't like it and how much it was painful for him.
Yeah, we were talking about this last night. This is somebody who wants to do something that's dirty. Wants to
we
do
were
something
talking
that's
about
bad.
This. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I actually remember I said, like, a girl said, spank me. And I said, not a chance. I really like you.
Right.
I'm not spanking you. But the idea of doing something kind of nasty, that does appeal to me. I think there's something interesting about that.
So there's that element. Can you relate to this, Gretchen? The why a woman would want the game? Do you get turned on by seeing two guys?
Oh, God, no.
No, Gretchen,
I don't get turned on, period.
Gretchen just doesn't get turned on. She just naps. But I have asked Gretchen on occasion, and she because she married me on our first date because she wouldn't sleep, she makes these things up. But I'll tell you the truth. I have asked her to describe sexual encounters with men while I made love to her.
That's a bad idea.
That's a bad idea.
It was.
Idea. That's a
it didn't work out.
Idea.
It didn't work out at all because I thought it was true. She's going, I don't even know that guy.
I never even met that guy. What?
But what do you mean you don't know the guitarist from Jane's Addiction? I'm sure you did him.
I'm calling that Navarro right now. So there's something about two straight men having sex?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like gay men. I don't find gay men attractive sexually.
So, and is it men, what are the men doing in your fantasy?
You know, like anal sex.
Is it a fantasy or is he describing it to you as you're having sex?
Yeah, he's pretending that he's in that situation.
Are you having anal sex? Is he having anal sex with you at that time?
No, not usually. Sometimes, but not usually.
This is like a new one for me, and it sounds like you identify so strongly with maleness that you want to sort of pretend you're the male with a male. It's almost like a gender identity issue for you, right?
Not really. It's just I don't really want to pretend that I'm the male. I just want to watch it.
You just want to hear dirty talk.
You want to watch it. All right. Does it? Can you have sex other ways normally?
Sometimes, but normal sex, it gets really boring for me. Like sometimes it can be.
All right. So that's this is all trauma stuff again. So what happened to you?
Nothing. I mean, like,
were you exposed to a lot of pornography when you were a kid? That kind of thing.
I had I think when I was 14 or 15, I was homeless in New York for a while, and I
homeless in New York.
Yeah, okay.
That's called trauma, dude.
That's huge trauma.
I mean, Alyssa,
I had a condo in New York, and it was trauma.
Never mind, it was a refrigerator box, but he called it his condo. But Alyssa, come on. So how did you happen to be homeless at 14? That means you ran away from home?
Yeah, I ran away from home.
All right, well, kids that run away from home because they're being beaten.
No, I wasn't being beaten. I was in, the foster system, care system.
All right. Alyssa, that's profound trauma. Profound.
You know what's interesting is how hard she wants to fight.
I know
the trauma.
I know
it's how hard she wants to say no and then say homeless in New York. No foster care.
Yeah, here's how you need to think about it, Alyssa. What people that have been through these kinds of things think to themselves is, I've dealt with that. I don't need to think about that anymore. Right. And indeed, you have dealt with it as a memory. But in terms of how it's affected the growth and development of your brain, it's with you. It's just how our brains develop. When heavy things happen to us, when we're 15 and under, particularly 12 and under, it affects the way the brain wires. And you get things like fetishes. Those are common kinds of outcomes for that. And all kinds of other things related to trauma. Mm-hmm. Drug use, dissociative disorders, mood disturbances, trouble regulating your feelings.
Right.
Trouble being close to other people. And when you have bizarre fetishes because how you manage being close, that's a sign that something went on there. So there you go.
Now get ready for hot horny studs.
Finally, one thing because I have everything. I've got everything you ever. If somebody's going to call me and go, oh, I got that and worse. But
I like that about you, because seriously, Gresham, every call, it's, oh, yeah, let me tell you about my stuff.
I listened
when I used
last
to do
night.
My television show, the first television show for Disney.
For Disney?
Well, Disney owned it. Wait, they called me to the office one day, and I was yelling at some girl on the desk. She goes, you know, when I was bulimic, and I said, oh, yeah, well, listen to this. They called me to the back room, and they said, listen, man, do you always have to be crazier than the guests? Can't you just let the guests be crazy?
I think that's hard for you, though.
I couldn't do it. No, because they weren't crazy enough. They were amateurs.
What am I going to do with this guy?
that's his mark of distinction.
It is. No, I embrace it and I love it.
Thank you.
You know, we've been married 15 years. So
right, and he's better, right? He's well, he's stable.
Yeah.
I mean, what I was telling
I've
him last night.
I've never seen him this healthy in all the years
we've
been married.
He's recovered and he's recovering. The bipolar thing we were talking about last night, I suspected, I watched a little bit of the show too, and irritability was a main feature of his bipolarity. Mm-hmm. He has not been irritable. He's still got a good engine on him, yeah. The motor gone, but the irritability just isn't there, right?
Yeah, no, and I'd never seen him like that before.
Yeah.
You know, I think all the steroids and the Vicodin and the alcohol.
Yeah, steroids. Let's talk about steroids when we get back. That's the one thing we didn't touch on last night.
So, I think that's a good thing to talk about.
All right, we'll talk when we get back. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Breaking Bonadu. Is Danny Bonaducci's show. We're here with Danny and his lovely wife, Gretchen, and we will return after this.
Love Line will be right back. We'll be right back.
LOVE-191. Love Line here. I'm Dr. Drew. He's Danny Bonaducci. She is his lovely wife, Gretchen. And let's go right back to the phones. Oh, no, we were going to talk a little about steroids.
Dr. Drew, by the way.
We're going to talk about steroids.
Yes, we were.
So what were you doing?
Let's see. I was doing...
Were you stacking stuff?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, of course. Were you doing it yourself? Were you taking directions from somebody?
Here's what happened. I'm living in one of the gyms, getting ready to do the other half.
Because, you know, let me before you go on, I will tell you, as a medical student, as a physician, I used to work out a fair bit when I was younger. And they would come to you and they'd have questions.
Yeah.
Because they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And don't tell anybody. They'll never admit to anybody ever. I mean, they don't. They will look in the eyes. I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Even after you know, unloading on me about the unbelievable amount of stuff they're doing. And they want to know, what am I doing to myself? Because they have no idea.
Right. Well, for me, you know, the downside is I'm banned from Major League Baseball. Aside from that, I think I'll be all right. For me, I was doing DECA, propionate.
Anadrol.
Winstrol. Which is very interesting because all of these bottles, which are liquid, they're all injectables, which is a drag because they're thick. They're based in oil, so they release slowly, so you use a 20-gauge needle, which is the same as essentially an ice pick, right, which is a big drag. You would do these things, but here's what's happening. I'm living in this gym, and since I've already said I go to Gold's Gym a lot, this was before then. This was 2 years ago getting ready for the other half. It's another gym. I'm living in this gym, and I'm pumping, and finally this huge muscle head comes up to me, and he said, listen, you're 45 years old, or 44 at the time. You're working so hard, you're not going to get what you want. Just like that, flat out.
Oh.
And I said, oh, thanks, man. He goes, want some help? And I said, sure. And he just opened a medical kit right in the middle of the gym. And this will give you an idea of my personality disorder. I walked into a stinking gym bathroom with a stranger and let him ram a needle into my shoulder filled with a completely unknown substance. And that I was in.
Does not surprise. Yeah, and now the steroids, in addition to giving you what you want in terms of your appearance, starts to have a sort of arousing, you know, a euphoric quality to
it,
too.
Right, yeah, absolutely. No, it's hard for me to put it down. I mean, you can do your laundry on my stomach, and I've had an erection for 11 weeks. You know, it's all good.
What's wrong with this stuff?
It's all good.
And right, and so you can't talk about it. You won't tell. You won't admit it. You won't. It's doing it. But so you're not only getting addicted to how you look, but also how you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But to be honest with you, 100%, because for some reason I'm doing that with you, it's more the way I look.
More the way you look.
Yeah, because I chain smoke. I'm not healthy.
But I bet, though, that the mania started becoming more prominent around that because the steroids really set off the manias.
Yeah.
And by the way, you like that. Manic, because if you're bipolar, you like being a little manic.
When I'm manic in a proper, not a proper sense, when I'm manic
controlled.
In a good way,
yeah, controlled way,
when it is, you know, I'm at the typewriter and I've banged out a show that I think is really good on paper and then gone upstairs and learned a song on the piano and, you know, taken my kids to Knott's Berry Farm, I think life is wonderful all the time. But then every third day I need to sleep again.
Remember when you ran away?
Yeah. You know? But, I mean, I hate to say something, because I am not a doctor. And I know you need your liver enzymes checked and your kidneys checked. There's all sorts of possible side effects. But I like the shape I'm in, and I like the way I feel.
You still doing it?
Not at the moment, but I will again.
Ooh, you got to be really, really, really careful in terms of your addiction, because it massages that center. Mm-hmm. Talk to your sponsor.
I believe that to be true.
I'm not.
You know why I can't talk to my sponsor? But I'll tell you the truth. Remember I showed you last night my sobriety date is tattooed on my arm?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
he'll make you change
steroids
it.
Are considered a mood-altering drug.
They'll
make me change it, and I don't want to change it.
How are we going to deal with
that? I want to make
it. How are we going to deal with that?
Well, let's figure it out, man. I need to be huge.
Are there physicians? Can you follow somebody's direction?
This. You'll love this, Doc. So my steroids, like the Winstrol, has a picture of a horse on it.
Yeah, I know that's a horse thing.
And it says veterinario on the top. So my steroids are for Mexican horses. So I go to the real doctor, and I said, listen, man, I want to be on steroids. And I've got this stuff for Mexican horses. Do you have anything better? And he said, no.
Better?
Yeah. He said, no. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I'll give you a testosterone patch.
There you go.
If you're having a problem maintaining an erection. Are you having a problem maintaining an erection? No. He said, well, if you shoot that stuff with the horse on the label, you'll be able to pull a plow through a field all day long, and that's what you're after. So I stuck with the Mexican veterinarian
but
stuff.
But then, after a while, you get a softening problem.
In what area?
You should know. I've treated steroid users who have permanent erectile dysfunction.
You know, I've read that. I've read that a lot. Yeah.
So,
but that would not. I got to tell you what. Something interesting. That would not wreck my life. I like sex almost more than anything in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife does not.
Right.
She'll do it.
It would help your relationship.
We do our.
It
would, dude. If I didn't want to have sex with her and everybody else, life would be a dream.
All right, let's talk to Dylan. It's 24. Dylan, what's going on?
Hi. I just wanted to say you guys have an awesome show going on. It totally normalizes things for the rest of us out here.
That's what I'm here for.
But I know I have a serious problem. Okay, like I used to be a dancer for like 2 months. Before that, I was an addiction counselor at a prison.
Woo.
And now I became a porn star. Like all right, I'm up and coming.
So you're back in your disease.
What do you mean? No, I didn't have a disease. I was a counselor.
Are you calling from Las Vegas by any chance? Do I know you?
No.
What's the better what's the porn star name?
No, I happen to meet her on Halloween.
What's that, Anderson?
What's the porn star name?
I just started doing this. Like, I'm like 2 months fresh.
But, so you've not been released yet.
My whole thing is, I think it's not so much as it's fun. It's the business aspect of it. It's good money. It's fast. It's quick. And to explain that to my boyfriend of 7 years, whom I also have a 2-year-old with, he's not liking it. He doesn't understand it, and he doesn't want to hear me say it's just work.
If you were talking to one of your clients at the jail or wherever who had started this going down this path, what would you tell her?
What would I tell somebody else in my shoes?
Yes, if a girl was about to be released from prison and needed guidance in what to do with her life, what would you tell her to do, and where on that list would porn star fall?
And if she had a great idea of becoming a porn star as a way of making a living, what would you tell her?
Well, only because I've seen, like, you know, behind the scenes and everything, go for it. It's not as bad as it looks. It really isn't. Oh. It's so fake and phony and scripted and just, like, thrown together in an hour.
I don't mean to disagree with you, but I've been in show business my whole life, and I know that Industrial Light and Magic can do some pretty amazing stuff, but they can't do that. Now, and also, and I was just talking to my wife about this the other day, Dylan, that the porno that I have seen, I just recently saw some, Gretchen will not allow pornography in our house, so I don't really see it, but I saw some at somebody's office, and it seems to have gotten not only dirtier, but dangerous. It seems at least one girl and three men involved simultaneously. Isn't that painful, let alone degrading?
I have a question. What are you going to tell your child about this?
The way I kind of see it is, like, I mean, it's not going to be a lifestyle for me. This is just temporary right now because I have a house that's an escrow, and I want to, like, get all the closing costs together and get us back on our feet, essentially, because my son's dad doesn't work right now. And so
let me just stop you. Dylan, you're living in la-la land.
Yeah.
You're rationalizing everything. You've got it all figured out. You are 1,000 miles away from what's going on emotionally with you. This is who you are. And you're going to hide it from your child as he or she grows up because you're ashamed of it, because you know it's not a good thing to do. You certainly wouldn't want your child doing this. So you have all kinds of feelings about this that you're just not examining.
Yeah.
I've treated lots of people in this industry. It's not out of health that people go and do this. It's boundary issues always. It's addiction usually. And it's very hard to get out of. And when you do, there's a lot of baggage that comes with it. I'm not saying 100%. I mean, we've had Christy Canyon on the show a few times, and she seems like she's doing okay.
I've met a couple of porn stars in Las Vegas, and they seem nice.
Well, they're always nice, and the nicest is not. And Chris Dillon sounds nice, but the vast, vast majority are doing it. It's an acting out, and it has very serious emotional consequences long term.
Is it to hurt someone? I asked my brother one time. I'll give
you
an idea.
It's to hurt herself.
It's not to hurt her father. It's not getting back at someone.
My family is fine. Like, I mean, everything, honestly, my whole life is fine. Everything's been fine.
You know what? Dylan, I don't mean to be cruel to you. I promise you I don't. I just am concerned. If I were to be here in 10 years, would you do me a favor and call me back right after somebody shows one of your movies to your 13-year-old daughter?
Or son. Worse yet.
My son's gonna freak. Oh my gosh.
Yes, he is.
He's gonna more than freak. It's not gonna be oh my God. He is gonna be devastated.
Yeah, he's gonna be that's my mother.
He's gonna be devastated.
Does your mother know the kind of work that you do?
My mom doesn't know.
Why not? It's no big deal. What's the big deal? Just for money?
I also do some modeling and stuff.
It's no big deal. Just a little porn. What's the big deal? Come on. We're not enlightened enough.
Honestly, at the same time, if I do decide to tell them, which it's coming out more and more because before I didn't want to tell my boyfriend, and now I have to tell him. And
how would you feel? How would you feel if he were doing pornography?
That's what I told him. I said if you were doing it, I would not be freaking out because I know what it's about now. And you can set your own limitations. There's a million things that I will not do. I only want to do a couple of things. I don't do interracial 10 guy gangbangs and stuff like
Dylan,
that.
Dylan, the fact that you
a racist porn star. Yeah, right on. Nice call.
Well done. Now, the fact that you're putting the boundaries in such bizarre places and not
it's
seeing.
It's so far out there.
Yeah, you're not really seeing things. And enjoy. I'm happy you're happy right now.
Yeah, but, and you know what? She sounds happy right now. It's going to crash.
I have talked to prostitutes that sound like this, too. Oh, it's fun. It's no big deal. And then all of a sudden it becomes not fun. And then all of a sudden the real emotions begin to emerge.
Because I knew a prostitute, and she had a house in Miami and a house in Las Vegas and seemed very normal and was well-spoken. And I thought, what a reasonable thing for this. She should be able to sell what she has every right to give away.
Yes, but in reality, there's a huge emotional cost.
I agree with you. It's huge.
And unfortunately, because those people are very deep in denial, I mean, you've been in denial. You know how it works.
They do.
And it's working for you for a while. It works for them for that period of time, just the way a drug works.
Okay.
It's working great.
Then that day comes along where it stops working.
And unfortunately, the rest of us buy the BS of, this is making me happy. It's just for money, just so I can have my house in Miami. It is not the truth.
Okay.
It's not. It may be for 1% of them. Right. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But 99%, it's a huge deal. It's just like addiction. Yeah.
Do you feel like everybody has been traumatized? Because
yes, I do.
On the radio, in real life, it's all I deal with.
No, I don't think everybody does, but I certainly feel like it sometimes.
Uh-huh. Because it seems like everybody has had some kind of trauma or has some kind of problems.
All right, let's go to something. If we're getting to that point, let's do something a little bit more upbeat.
All right.
We're going to play Germany or Florida. Okay, now Danny and I played this last night. We have a theme song, Anderson?
Germany or Florida, Germany or Florida, Germany or Florida, Germany or Florida.
It's a game where the callers give us the sort of macabre, bizarre story, and we tell them one of the two places where those kinds of things happen. Did this happen in Germany or Florida?
Oh, no problem.
So here is Brian, who's 41. Brian. Hey.
So I'm in my lederhosen.
All right, Brian, what do you got?
Here.
No, hi, our callers are shrewd, though. They shroud it in all kinds
all right,
of
things. I'm ready. Bring it on.
Because it's not going to happen in Shreveport. It only happens in Germany or Florida. All right, here we go.
That's right. Okay. By the way, I used to listen to you a lot on the radio, Danny. So,
thank you very much.
My sister actually used to go to school with you in high school, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, please apologize for me.
Yes,
but this is that weird little high school you were talking about last night.
Was this Cal Prep?
Of course. Where else?
Oh, wow, with Michael and all those weirdos?
Yep.
Well, we decided it was
Christian Brando that, Michael Jackson, and me.
That effed up Danny for good. That was it.
It was. I blame Brando. All right, so what can we do for you?
Okay. Here it is. A man on welfare sued the welfare agency for not paying for his plane ticket to Thailand. He and his lawyer argued that the welfare agency promises to pay for life's basic needs and necessities. They argued that sex is one such basic need, and the man's, quote, girlfriend lives in Thailand. Therefore, the government should pay for his plane ticket. He lost the case, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
Germany or Florida?
Yep. You got.
I think
you
I
in?
Know, yeah.
I'm going to go Florida.
I'm going to say Florida.
Tell me why.
I'm going to say Florida because I don't think the legal system is so ridiculous anywhere else in the world.
I agree with that. However, I don't think our welfare system really agrees to pay for the basic needs yet. We're just sort of paying for minimal needs at this point in time. And I don't think...
But the way I have sex, it's a minimal need.
I don't think you'd make this case in Florida. You might be able to, but I'm going to Germany.
You're going to Germany? Right. Well...
And Florida, Rich in Florida because...
Yes, Florida.
Because, and also by the... Thailand, girlfriends in Thailand's a little bit far from Florida, too. That's the other thing. All right, what is it, Brian?
You're the expert, Dr. Drew. It is Germany.
Yes!
Yes!
That's what I'm saying. See? Brian, good call. Very,
that's
very
the
good.
Doctor.
All right, buddy, take care. Yeah,
I want to tell you, I'm probably your longest listening caller. To the show. I've been listening, believe it or not, since I was 21. That is 20 years. That was, if I remember right, that was just like a month or two after your show started.
It was about actually we started. I remember. The New Year's Eve 1984 doing the show. And if you look back on your calendar, you'll see we used to only do it on Sunday nights, and you'll see that New Year's Eve 1984 was a Sunday night.
I'm just trying to think of what cardboard box I was in 1984 New Year's Eve.
And what was your favorite guest on the show, Brian, after all these years?
Oh, Mike. Well, David Alan Grier and Tom Arnold. Well,
me
you know,
too.
Great Holocaust phone call.
Yes, that was good. I was telling somebody at night that one of my most onerous nights was probably around the time you started listening. We had Nina Hagen and Angeline at the same time.
Nice night. Nice night.
You're like, easy. And now you can add Danny Bonaducci to your list of favorites, all right?
All right. Oh, hey, one more thing I just thought of. I have a theory to your question about why people who are young and screwed up breed more than others.
Yeah. Go.
Okay. Here it is. It has to do with evolutionary theory.
Yeah.
The idea is that if you are well put together, you can afford to have a relatively few number of children, put all your resources in them, and make them grow up well. But if you're not well put together, you can't provide for your children well, and you can't raise them well. So your best strategy, make lots of them.
Make lots and do it quickly before you do something screwy and die. Right?
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's the only thing
I can figure it too. So thanks, Brian. I appreciate that.
Hey, you have
a great day. Germany.
Bye bye.
You have no idea how competitive I am, and I can't stand
that. I want?
Yes, I can't stand.
No more game. No more competition. No more competition.
Laughing time is over.
My kid's birthday is Friday, and I'm going to spend the entire day at Knott's Berry Farm. Actually,
are you really? When was the last time you were at Knott's?
About last year, around this time.
We go, like, all the time.
Do you?
Gretchen and I and the kids go all
the time. They like
little
Camp Snoopy?
Yeah, they do. And we stayed at a hotel there, and they brought in Snoopy to the hotel. Oh, it was very fun.
Yeah, there's a Snoopy room, and it's like nothing. You pay a couple extra bucks, and there's nothing in it. You go, well, this sucks. And then there's a bang on the door, and Snoopy walks in.
It's at the park, right? At the hotel, right there.
No, we go several times a year.
My kids get an age where they're into roller coasters now, so they go to try all the new roller coasters.
There's some good ones. There's some excellent roller coasters.
I bet you like roller coasters.
I love roller coasters.
That's that attic thing. So, Gretchen, I'm telling you. All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci, Breaking Bonaducci. Go to VH1.com. Vote for him for Big in 105 Awards. Gretchen is with us for another segment, maybe?
Oh, I would love that.
Okay,
thank
great.
You.
So we'll have her here next segment, too. So any questions for her or Danny, please call in. We'll be right back. Loveline, Danny Bonaducci, I'm Dr. Drew, and she is his wife, Gretchen. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE, beg your pardon, 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get right back to the callers. Here's Nestor. He's 18.
Hi, Nestor.
Oh, they can't hear us.
No, we hear you. You're on the air now.
Oh, yes. Hello?
What's
Hello?
Up?
Hi, I'm Nestor.
Yeah.
Hi,
yes,
Nestor.
Yes, you are.
Nestor, you have like, I mean, it's not my show, but you have like a second to get it together.
Let's go.
Okay, well, I've been with my girlfriend for a year and 8 months now.
Yeah.
And when we first started having sex, when I would suck on her nipples, it would she would like it very much.
This has got to be the same guy.
I'm on my bed and I wake up and she's licking on my nipples, dude.
It's the same guy, right?
Wait, wasn't somebody licking on your nipples last night?
It's the same guy. It's the same guy.
Weren't you a big nipple nicker last night?
Wasn't it like your
mother-in-law?
Yeah,
or something?
Something like that.
No. I'm a different guy.
I'm an entirely different guy. Totally different guy, Nestor.
Me too.
All right, here's Michelle, who's 29.
Hi, Michelle.
Question for Danny. In my books.
What's up, Michelle?
First of all, Dr. Drew, I really love your book, Cracked.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I wrote a book
about what it feels like to be taken care of. Just trauma surviving addicts, and it does things to you. Believe me, as a caretaker, you probably don't think about this, Danny, but as a caretaker, it gets under your skin. Mm-hmm. Does so.
I should get you a copy of that book.
You should.
It's about codependency, and it's a metaphor for. I use one case that I make up as sort of a metaphor for coming out of codependency. Really, so
I better read that then.
I would jump all over that.
It's called Cracked. 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 Michelle, what's going on?
Okay, first of all. Gretchen, well, I'm sure, Danny, you know Gretchen's a saint.
I do.
And I was just wondering, I don't know if you guys were married at the time, but I'm from Phoenix, and you started your radio career here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you'd want to talk about, like, what happened that...
Did I sleep with you?
...led to you leaving?
Oh, you mean beating up the transvestite?
Right.
No, I'm all cool with that. What's up?
Well, I was just wondering, I mean, of course I saw it on the news, and do you, I mean, is that exactly, like, what happened? Like,
what happened? What happened?
I don't know what the news said. Do you want to hear the, abbreviated story, because it's a bit of a long story.
Okay, so.
Quick story is, I pull over on a corner, because there's a hooker working there.
Oh, I do remember this.
Yeah, and I say, hop on into the car, and goes, Miss Hooker, and she jumps in, the dome light comes on, it's not even a good transvestite. He, like, didn't even bother to shave.
Oh.
He's just wearing a miniskirt and fishnets, which I'm still a sucker for, by the way. Anyway, so I say, my mistake, Mr. Hop on out of the car. And he says, no, that was my corner. You owe me $40.
Oh.
I gave him another chance to get out of the car. He wouldn't take it. Went over to his side of the car, because we're dating now. And I dragged his ass out. And when I did, I realized he's big.
Uh-oh.
He's a big man in fishnets and spike heels selling his ass on the street. This is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I hit him, and I hit him hard. And I hit him until he stopped trying to get up, because he was too big. I wasn't going to take a chance. And when I was done, that sounds so bad, I look, and there are the cops. And I think, I can explain this, really. It's just a fight,
won. How high were you at the time?
Oh, so high. So high. So I think, I can explain this. And then I think, you know what? Danny Partridge beating transvestite hooker. I need to run. I just got to run. So I ran. And by the way, this is my favorite part of the story. I got to listen to the high-speed pursuit I was in on the stereo of the car I was driving.
Oh, my
that
God.
Was bitching. And then I got home. I went into my house, thought I had made it. The cops came in, beat my ass, took me to jail. I paid $4,500 to get his nose fixed and 750 hours of community service. The end.
And now it's time to take another break. On that lovely note,
and wait a minute.
You can all
Germany.
Chew on that. Germany only happened in Germany.
Germany.
Well, we're going to put Phoenix on our list of possible cities where bizarre things can happen. So, Danny Bonaducci is the guest. How can I describe Danny? None other than the one and only Danny Bonaducci. The show is called Breaking Bonaducci. And I guess we're going to say goodnight to Gretchen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
we appreciate
for letting
it.
Me come.
And hopefully we'll have you back again when Danny revisits us to tell us more interesting stories.
I would love to revisit.
But
right
now,
so much
he's
fun.
Not leaving. And the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to take a little break.
Love Line will be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci is with us tonight, Breaking Bonaducci on VH1. Check out your local listing, I guess, by going to VH1 for airtimes if you're...
VH1.com for airtimes. Runs like 18 times a week, though.
It's quite a show.
Times called it the best show on television. Hated it, but said it was the best show on television.
How's that work?
They said, are you ready for this? I think it was either New York Times or LA Times said, we have always wondered what the next evolution of reality TV would be. We thought it would be live executions. Instead, it's Danny Bonaducci, and it's worse. I was proud.
And you just off the air before the mics heated up here, you were mentioning to me that online chatting, flirting.
The reason I asked off the air is because it's so popular. I was sure you have done this show before and didn't want to bother you with it.
It's a forever topic.
Okay, fine.
Because men and women see it so differently and have trouble sort of appreciating or accepting one another's point of view.
Okay.
Men, we're all about the sex.
Right.
Okay? And particularly the contact. I mean, we're primitive that way, right? If our territory has been marked by somebody else or whatever, we're toast.
Right.
We're over the top.
I'm with you.
Anything else, provided it's not planning that, we're sort of whatever. We don't even doesn't even get on the radar screen very much.
Okay, but see,
for the most part.
Here's the thing. Have you ever heard of MySpace?
Yeah.
When I first got sober, and I was with these sober groups of who I can't mention, as you understand, they all said, are you on MySpace? Are you on your MySpace? So I got on it thinking it was a sobriety thing. And all the people who contacted me were sober, because that's who knew I was there.
Right.
Well, then it got out that I was there, and I didn't know what it was. It's a whole massive, gigantic, dating, weird, everything kind of thing, MySpace. So now I've started to talk to some people. And I talk to them in a very flowery way.
Interacting with people that come onto your MySpace site.
Yes. I instead of today I told a girl.
Oh, by the way, tonight you're going to have a billion hits.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. A girl said, you've been in my thoughts all day.
Okay.
To which I replied, because of my job, I get to go to some interesting places, some even fabulous, but in your thoughts is best.
Oh.
Now, why do I need to talk like that to this girl? I don't know her. Is that cheating? Is that bad?
I think it's if you knew that your partner would be bothered by it.
She would. Gretchen would be mad.
If you get that feeling that this probably wouldn't be okay with my partner, then it's not okay. Then it is kind of, it's heading towards cheating.
But
right?
On the level of things that I do that are not okay with my partner, it's pretty far down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So your point is?
My point is if I'm going to get to it, it's like eighth.
Well, but in your condition, with what you're dealing with, you actually have slippery slopes.
Right, I do.
You have to put boundaries down early.
Right, I've never written these words. That's meat.
Yeah.
I've never written these words. Coffee. None of that ever.
But if the train starts pulling out of the station,
I'm on.
Yeah. So you have to really be careful.
So for the best you can give me of a yes or no question for a man,
I would say
what I'm doing, because I am blatantly flirting.
I think women would be very bothered by that. Women are troubled by the intimacy of the contact.
Right.
And on the web, it's an intimate little dialogue, you know, and they would feel hurt, diminished by it.
Right. See, and women don't understand that men can have great sex with chicks they hate. You know? I've had sex with chicks that bug the hell out of me, and it was awesome. Plus, you got to leave immediately.
God, men are great. All right, here is Amanda's 23. Amanda, what's going on?
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. My question is about masturbation.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know if someone can do it, if you can do it too much to where you're desensitized during actual sex.
Well, if you're using a high-intensity vibrator or something that can desensitize you, certainly.
If you're using anything that says Black and Decker on it, probably a mistake.
Circular sander.
Black and Decker.
What are you using?
A vibrator.
Yeah, so the vibrators can give you a little trouble sometimes.
I didn't know that for sure till the doctor answered. I didn't know that, but I thought that.
But, you know, even then, you can always sort of bring that into the action with you if you want, I guess, and sort of keep things kind of going that way.
And by the way, that will thrill your boyfriend. If your boyfriend's jealous because you're having a better time with a piece of plastic, you join that piece of plastic to your activity. He's going to be one happy young man, I promise.
Anything that makes...
What's that?
I say anything that gives a man less work, he's happy.
Yeah, he's happy. He gets to watch stuff. He's having a good time.
If I had a boyfriend, I probably wouldn't be.
Turn on the game, that. Make him a snack. He's a home run.
What's I guess that? The answer is MySpace.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
All right, Amanda, good luck, okay?
Thanks.
All right, here's now Melanie, who's 23. Melanie.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, what's up? We're good.
I have a son. He's 6 years old, and he got put on Adderall 4 months ago for ADHD.
Yep.
And I was wondering, I have addiction in my family, and his father was an addict, too. So I was just wondering if that was going to, you know, help him along to be an addict later in life.
It's a great question. Do you think either of you have the gene?
Well, his father did. His father.
No, but I mean, you guys have to have a sense that you carry it. It doesn't really skip a generation. The disease can skip a generation, but the gene has to kind of flow through somebody. And so you would know, you'd kind of have a sense that you'd have momentum with substances. You have to be careful with things. People will say,
I don't think I do, but my son's father did.
Okay, so he's an addict. So, yeah, so the son has about a 50% chance of getting that gene. And in my experience, this is going to be a little bit of a controversial statement from a medical standpoint, but it's certainly been my experience, that when one of the parents has alcoholism or addiction, and the child has ADD or ADHD, that's the child with the gene. That's a marker for the gene in families with alcohol. Did you have ADHD when you were a kid?
No, I didn't. I have a child that
has one. I will tell you, though, now I've looked at this very, very carefully because this is a population I'm rather concerned with, because here we are saying, well, here's a group of potential addicts.
Right.
And I assumed that what we would see was that we created a bunch of amphetamine addicts by giving medications like Adderall and Cytomel and all these things that are not, I beg your pardon, Adderall and Ritalin and all the stuff that is basically amphetamine. If you look at the medical literature on the treatment of ADD, ADHD with stimulants, it is absolutely overwhelmingly clear that kids that are treated do better.
Really?
Even when they have the addict gene. They have
That's
nice to hear, by the way.
Yeah, they have less personality disorders, less antisocial problems, less behavioral disturbances, less addiction, less severe addiction, less polysubstance addiction. All the parameters look better. Here's the caveat from my perspective.
Okay.
One, the developing brain is very different than the adult brain.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the stimulants have a positive effect while the brain is still developing. Once, though, he hits about 18, you want to get off the stimulants. And if you're an addict and you have ADD, this is my opinion, under no circumstances do you take a stimulant. Under no circumstances. And so
if you could
other
see
things.
His face, you would know just how. It's a bigger no than you can hear. He's making the big no face.
I mean it. It is. You can try Wellbutrin and Clonidine and other things, but not the stimulant. So he's good until he's older, all right?
We have depression in my family, too. So it's like I just worry that I'm weighing it differently, you know, because he's doing really good in school on it. But I don't want to make him an addict to make him do that in school.
I know. It's a good thing for him to take it, believe it or not, if he's properly diagnosed, and it's something to get him off of when he's around 18 and find other ways of dealing with it.
I'm really glad to hear that. I told you last night I'm a huge believer in science and medical science. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. A guy goes to school long enough and checks all the newest advances. It does me, you know, it's nice to know that there's a medicine that, you know, because everybody's making such noise about giving children any kind of medication
right. That
you're all of a sudden feeling guilty. And it's very nice to hear this is the right thing to do for your child.
If you really look at the literature, it is. It's just,
good.
It's not sort of, well, it's controversial. The literature's not clear. We think it's the right thing. It's very clear.
It's clear.
It's clear. Boy,
good.
These kids are much happier. They do much better. They perform better. They feel better about themselves. I mean, just everything's up when they're properly diagnosed and properly.
But around 18, gone with that.
In my opinion, okay. Yes, I would say. What do you? We mentioned this briefly last night. What do you think about Tom Cruise and his comments about depression?
My wife said it best, to be honest, and she always does. She said Tom Cruise does not believe in psychiatric medicine at all. So she decided that she should lock him in a room with me for a week, unmedicated, and see how he comes out. See what he believes when they let him out of the room.
That is awesome. All right. Good plan.
I think it's foolish. I told you last night, I think the problem with psych drugs is not that they don't work, it's that they do. You start to feel so normal, you stop taking your medication.
Right, or you start believing you're not an addict anymore,
right.
Or you can take steroids again.
Hopefully at 46, I've been through this enough time that I'll start to feel great and know I feel great because I'm doing the right thing. Don't stop.
John, 43.
Hi, my name's John. I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
Hey, John.
Congratulations on your 6 months, Danny. That's huge, man.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. How long you got?
I'm struggling, dude. I'm struggling. I managed to put a year together in 2002 to 2003.
Right.
And went out, and I've been on in and out ever since. And I'm struggling, man. I'm struggling, and I'm just hating it right now.
How much time you got?
I don't. I have today. That's all I got.
Today?
Today.
Hey, that's good enough, man. You got
today.
Start.
What's the drug of choice?
Well, what do you got? That's my drug of choice.
You know what? Can I tell you something, buddy? That is always my answer. When somebody says, what is your drug of choice? I say, what do you got? Which is a drag because he's not kidding. He's not kidding.
No, it is a drag.
If he took pills, if you gave him a bunch of blue pills right now and said, here you go, he'd just take them. He wouldn't ask what they were.
Some kind of gym opened up a medicine kit. He would just
take them.
But I'll tell you
that happened to me last week, 2 weeks ago. I woke up in the front seat of my car with a cop in my front seat in the middle of an intersection in a blackout. And it's like, man, I don't know. I'm struggling, man.
Hate it when that happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, there is a slight difference, though, with the poly drug thing that you guys are describing and a poly drug with opiate predisposition. Okay. That's usually worse when you're using the OxyContin, the Vicodin, and the heroin, and whatever you got.
Right.
It ends up being actually a worse situation than just whatever you got, because whatever you got usually means alcohol is a big part of it.
Huge for me, it was.
Absolutely.
And when I say whatever you got, I mean at the pharmacy.
Right, but
I was not a big street guy.
Right. And in the meantime, you're drinking.
Right, a fish.
Yeah. And that's really predominantly alcoholism as opposed to predominantly opiate or heroin addiction, and the prognosis is actually a little better.
So, well, that's
do you go to
news,
meetings?
But, yeah, I go to meetings all the time. I've got commitments all over town, and I'm just struggling, man. I'm a double life guy, Danny. That's what I am. I do double life. I'm in the same industry as you are, and I'm struggling, man.
Oh my God,
dude,
you got to
struggling.
You need to spend some time in a sober living. You need a structure, and it's not the double life story. What you're attempting to do by taking
children, doctor. I can't. It's like I can't give up my job. I can't give up my life. I can't. You know, my wife's out doing her ex-wife. I've been divorced for 5 years. I was married for 18 years, and after that ended, I was off and running, man. And I'm struggling.
Well, I was telling the doctor last night that one of the most interesting things I ever heard from a guy named Billy. I went to a meeting the other day, and this young man that was always there, 18, 19 years old, had hung himself because he couldn't take it anymore. And we're all moping and crying, and Billy said, the hell are you all moping and crying about? We say it every day here. People die. It's not just words. How many people here know people who died? And everybody raised their hands. So when you say, I've got two children and I can't, boy, 30 days in a sober living, 60 days in a sober living is way better than orphans.
Yeah, and that right. and the I can't stuff is stuff I deal with all the time. And John, I'm saying that not out of sort of a casual recommendation, why don't you? I'm saying as a physician who's worked in this field for 10 years, it's what you have to do. And if you don't do it, you're going to keep struggling. It's not likely to work. If you want it to work, you got to spend, you got to get the structure you need, just as if I were recommending to you a certain dose of antibiotic. The certain dose you need of a certain kind of intervention in order to remit your disease. That's just the way it goes. But best of luck. I mean, you're doing
best of luck and you're hanging,
doing, man. And you're doing the right stuff in terms of the kinds of structure you are creating, in terms of taking commitments and all that right. stuff. Outstanding, but not enough. That's the problem.
You know what it is for me? Yeah. I recognize that call.
Yeah.
I've made that call.
I'm sure.
That's a harsh call, man. He knows. Right. He knows.
He knows. I know. I know. He doesn't want it.
I feel for him, man.
It's hard to put aside your life for a period of time to do this
to
thing.
To get your life.
To get this thing that you should be able to handle on your own, and you feel weak because you can't. Right. And behind it all, it's, I just want to keep using.
Right.
So Patrick, 28, here we go. Patrick.
Yeah.
What's
hey.
Up?
I'm calling because I ended up sleeping with a friend of mine's wife, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should tell him, because she's the one that came on to me, which means maybe I'm not the only one.
You're gay.
Yeah?
No.
Turn your radio off.
Okay. Is your question, I slept with my friend's wife, and should I tell? Is that your question?
Yes.
No. Okay. Take it to your friggin' grave.
Mandy, 16.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
We're good, thank you.
I think I'm addicted to sex, but I'm not exactly sure because I've only done it with one guy.
Yeah.
But I lost my virginity last year, in like late September, and I was 15 at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we broke up, like 2 or 3 months ago. And we still keep having sex, and we're not really on top of the whole safe sex thing. And I really want to stop, but for some reason, it's too tempting
for me. All right, hold on. Now, this is not sex addiction.
It's not sex.
No,
it's him.
This is right. You're addicted to this relationship.
You're addicted to the guy.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. Yeah, and by the way, man, you're 16, and this is a very sort of powerful thing for you. It's why it's not a great idea for people under 16 to get involved sexually, because it evokes all kinds of heavy emotions that you're not really prepared to deal with. One of which is that you sort of, on some level, believe that because he's having sex with you, he must love you.
Right.
And the one thing you need to learn about men is no.
No.
Those are absolutely not related phenomenon. As Danny said earlier, he has sex with women he hates.
Yeah.
Or has had. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, not often. That's every now and again, still.
Granted, just seriously. But, and you have to learn that. And he likes having sex. You like having sex. He's just having sex. You're having a little more than that, I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't get anything out of it, too.
What do you mean?
Like, at the beginning, I'll feel like I'm starting to get something, but then after a couple, I don't know, a minute or something, I'll just be sitting there, I won't feel anything.
Right.
That's
because
why I think I'm addicted.
No.
No, I just really like the guy.
You're describing the opposite of sexual
addiction. Yeah, you're compulsed with this relationship, and you need to stop, and you need to get a hold of yourself and stop doing it and stop thinking this is going to work out.
Can I take a giant leap?
Absolutely.
All right. My giant leap here is that after a minute, she doesn't really feel anything.
Stop.
It's her body telling her what her mind should
think.
Yes,
absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Is it a good leap?
Absolutely.
Right.
That the sex is something that what you're feeling or what's going on in the relationship gets expressed
right.
in the bedroom. And what's going on here is it's empty. It's empty of relationship, empty of any kind of feeling. And when you're in that condition, you just sort of shut down.
Mm.
Why don't you stop? Just stop. It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. And don't think because he wants to have sex with you, there's a possibility of things working out. He wants to have sex with you because he wants to have sex with you.
How old is he?
He's about 2-3 months younger than me.
It makes him how old? I'm sorry. 15?
16.
He's a 16-year-old man.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sorry that it doesn't necessarily mean anything special to him to have sex with you. And I'm sure he once had feelings for you. But do not confuse, especially, I'm 46, and let's just make you 18 for the purposes of this conversation. You would never be foolish enough to confuse feelings and sex with me. This is a 16-year-old man. There is nothing His heart is not racing for anything but the act of sex. Any girl would do. Move on. Feel better about yourself.
That's really it, Manny. And that's a harsh and difficult lesson for women to learn. They don't want to believe that about men. But for the most part, men are that way when they're under the influence of that hormone we call testosterone, which is up until they're about age of 28 or so.
Unless you're shooting it straight into your shoulders.
Yes, then you continue to have the... You're in adolescence, extended adolescence.
God, yes, you are.
So tell me something. Now, Danny, we've had some of the Brady Bunch people on the show over the years.
Unfortunately.
And we've got lots of stories about... Who was what's her name? What was it?
Maureen McCormick.
No, you had Florence Henderson, right?
That was them.
Florence Henderson.
We had Shirley Jones.
Shirley Jones. Do you have any Shirley Jones stories to share with us?
I have no Shirley Jones stories. I think Ruben touched me once, which might be I'm a trauma survivor.
Really?
No.
I've never heard that one. Wow.
No, but you know what? The Brady Bunch was like this real kind of family. I think they still get together and have like Brady barbecues.
Do they really?
Yeah. Like the Partridge Family couldn't have scattered fast enough.
Oh, really?
You guys are canceled. Okay, bye.
No one got along?
We didn't get along, not get along. We're such different ages. Like everybody would ask me, what's David Cassidy really like? And I go, well, I was 10 and he was 20. There's laws against people hanging out like that.
Right.
You know, I don't know anything about David Cassidy.
Right.
So, yeah, we just scattered. So I don't know anything about any of them.
And there was no longer any relationship, no contact, no nothing.
Every now and again, I get a call. I got a girl. I did a show called Dan Deutsch. Is that right?
Donnie Deutsch.
And I'm on it. He goes, we have a surprise for you. And it was Shirley Jones was on the phone. And I said, oh, Shirley, how are you? And she goes, I am so ashamed of you.
Oh.
And I said, what? She goes, that television show is awful. How could you do it? I'm ashamed to even admit I know you. And she hung up.
No.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
70, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's married to Marty Engels. She's got to be a bit crazy anyway.
That's what a weird thing for her to say, right?
But I mean, it is, you know, now that it's gotten all this press, is like the realest show on TV, and, you know, today's paper said the Danny Bonaduce show has taken the Osbournes to unspeakable new heights. You know, when you get that kind of press and everything, everything's okay. But if you look back on it, before everybody talked about, like, how real it was and how interesting, it was just shameful. It was just shameful behavior caught on television.
Well, do you, you know, we haven't seen the full season yet. Do you get better on, I mean, you do. You try to get better and stuff. You're getting treatment and things. I mean, obviously they filmed that.
I try and get better.
Because that to me, I mean, for instance, the Osbournes, you don't see them getting better. You just see their stuff going on. And at least in yours, it's about the evolution.
Well, I certainly hope so. Although I was kind of a jerk at a meeting with VH1 the other day. They wanted to have some like big corporate meeting with me, and I was late, and I was on my motorcycle. And when you're late on a bike, you take some chances with your life. So my heart was racing when I got to the meeting, and I said, all right, what the hell is all this about? And you could see them like sink back and go, oh my God, he's still a nut. And they said, this season's all about hope, Danny. If we're going to do another season, I want it to be about hope. We're not, and they didn't agree to do another season yet.
This is your Oprah season.
Yeah. They said, we want it to be about hope. And I said, oh, that's great. Hey, I forget. Do you have that picture of hope on you? I forget what it looks like.
Looks like Shirley Jones.
Who's got that picture of hope on them? So I don't know. If we do a second season, I have no idea what it will be.
Phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline. Give us a call. Danny Bonaduce. The show is Breaking Bonaduce. Broken Bonaduce. We got to be season two. Also, go on VH1.com. Check out airtimes and vote for Danny in the big in 105 awards. We got to show him some love from the Loveline listening audience.
That's cool.
We're going to take a little break and be right back.
Gefühl pur. Die Loveline. Loveline. This is Loveline.
Loveline, I'm Dr. Drew, Danny Bonaduce in here with me. Danny, the engineeress Michelle was just asking about how the show got going, how it became Breaking Bonaduce and where it started.
I changed the name from Rehab. I got three...
Not I mean the name so much. You had told me that the original concept for the show was quite different than what it ended up being.
The original name was not even that. I called from Rehab and said, we got to call it Breaking Bonaduce.
Wow.
I called from Rehab.
Wow.
What happened was we sold this cute little dinner party show. I got the idea. The newspaper said, or some rag said, Mick Jagger pulled up in his Mercedes. And I thought to myself...
For dinner.
Who the hell taught Mick Jagger to drive? I never thought the guy could he change a tire?
Yeah.
Can he play Pictionary? Well, let's invite him over for dinner.
Could he drive up next to me at a stop sign?
Right. So I thought, and my wife thought, let's have these rock stars over for dinner. We'll do potluck. We'll play Pictionary. Marilyn Manson will tell my kid a bedtime story. It'll all be so much fun. And so the first day of filming, they were just filming my house. There was no one there. And I came in just wasted. And some cameraman said something I didn't like, and I just tagged him. And they all shut down and said, all right, what do we do? He's a maniac. And I think the general consensus was, all right, let's do a documentary essentially called What Will Danny Kill and Eat?
Well, did they know they were doing that at that point? Or
no.
They just say, just keep filming?
They shut down and went home. Everybody went home because there were legal issues. This was a big drag. And they, luckily, he's a huge guy. Didn't hurt him at all, and he stayed on the show. Super nice guy. Super nice guy. Couldn't apologize more, and he was fine with me. I didn't hurt him at all, which kind of bugged me, really. they shut down the show twice. They shut down the show the first time and said, he's a maniac. What do we do? And then they said, well, we're involved with him. Let's shoot him, and let's get him in therapy. So they really tried to help. Then things got worse, and they came up to me, and they said, we're pulling the plug on the show. And I said, why? And they said, because we believe you're dying. And I said, yeah. And they said, well, we can't film that. And I said, why? That'd be huge. You know, you get a B-lister to die right on camera. You know, Nikki Six on Behind the Music. Nikki Six one time said the greatest line. And that's when I woke up and the needle was still in my arm. I would kick his ass by actually dying. And they didn't want to shoot it. And I still think they're punks. I think they should have shot it. Instead, they put me in rehab.
Oh, they wanted to. You think they should have just let you keep
let
going?
Let me go. Absolutely. That's what I'd have done.
Well, how did they get you into rehab?
They pulled the show.
Oh, I see. We're not going to continue shooting unless you go to prison.
This is all dead. It's all done. It's all over.
Unless you do something.
I'd already put my radio job in jeopardy. I really had very few. You know, it's funny because I mentioned this to you last night. When you're crazy, you're not crazy 360 degrees. You're crazy, like, over there to the left a little bit, and the rest is all normal.
Right.
And I knew, I'm in big trouble. I need this show. I need it to be a success. I need to get my radio job back or a new radio job. So I went to rehab and hopefully straightened out. But that's how it became Breaking Bonaducci.
Very interesting. See, Michelle?
Does that answer your question, Michelle?
Here's a follow-on question to that. It's Marianne is 29.
Marianne. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What's up?
First of all, I just want to say I love you. When you left your morning show, my sister and I stopped listening because we used to wake up in the morning and call each other at all your crazy comments and stories. So,
wait a minute. You couldn't be talking about Danny Bonaducci. Not crazy comments, Danny?
Crazy comments for me? Well, I cannot appreciate more that you don't listen anymore. Thank you very much.
And my question was, you know, what's next for you? I mean, I know that you've it's been kind of a roller coaster ride, and I can sympathize with your family because I live in a family of a lot of people who suffer from substance abuse, and I actually lost my brother 2 years ago to it, so I can understand where they're coming from. Yeah, but I also see your side of it as the person that's living it. I think it's amazing what you're doing, you know, that you're doing these radio shows, and I think it opens people's eyes to what substance abuse is, and I just think it's amazing. But what's next for you? You know, it's like you've got this show, but
just think, I got to get you in touch with the National Depressive and Manic Depressive Association.
There you go.
You'd be
go around and do some talks.
Yeah.
I will tell you, this is what's most interesting about me. If you ever asked me, aside from my family, because that's an obligatory answer, what is important, I would say career and money. And I think that that's from being rich and famous at 12 and homeless at 19. And I won't let homeless happen to my family. That's just never, ever going to happen. But now, for the first time ever, I don't even have a job. I'm unemployed. This is everything I'm doing right now is this radio show. Mm. You know, I've got other things going. I'm busy. But the fact of the matter is I don't care that much. For the first time in my life, there's a real life that does not involve work and money. Eventually, I'll have to do one to get the other. I'm okay financially right now. But right now, I've got this life that brings me, and God, I hate to sound sappy, but somebody would say the word, you know, it just brings me joy.
The recovery.
And I thought it was a made-up word, joy. Okay, yeah. I kind of get the word happy. I think I get that.
Yeah.
But joy, there's actual joy in my life.
That's
and
nice.
Right now, that's good enough. I don't have to pursue a new series or a sitcom or a play. There's joy in my life, and that's plenty.
Congratulations. And do you think your family feels the same way? Because I know that for me, it's after my brother passed away, I became first angry,
Right.
And, you know, I blamed myself. I hated him. And then I got to a point where I thought if I could help one kid get off the street and or one family, then, you know, it him dying, it's not justified, but at least I know that what I learned can help another family.
Did you do it?
And I did, and I do it every
day. God bless you.
And my mother does it every single day, and we go to homeless shelters, and we drive around the streets of Compton, which is the neighborhood that we grew up in, and, you know, thank God we have been able to do that. I'm so motivated by what you're doing. I have to congratulate you, and God bless you and your family. I wish
you couldn't be more kind, and God bless you too. Thank you.
Hey, Marianne, I'm gonna be doing a thing for the Claire Foundation tomorrow night.
I know the Claire Foundation very well.
And I want to use your story if you don't mind. May I?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay.
You know what I did? This will give you an idea how stupid my life is. I like the Claire Foundation, right?
Yeah, this is just for people in other parts of the country know. It's a addiction recovery, a residential type program.
So you know what I did? I put him as my charity on a game show and gave him $100,000.
It's great.
I know, but I didn't really have to do anything to be smarter than the kid from the Brady Bunch.
They got it? You gave him the money?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got to bring you with me tomorrow night. Sherry, 19. I'll be a hero. I'm bringing your benefactor. Sherry, what's going on? You're 19.
Hi.
Hi.
I got a quick question. Well, first of all, I want to say, Danny, I never really realized who you were before, but you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So I'm really enjoying
it. Our callers cannot give a straight compliment. You've never meant anything. Who the hell are you? But tonight, I enjoy listening to you.
I didn't know his name until tonight. I was like, who is this guy?
Have you never seen The Partridge Family?
She's 19.
Yeah,
no.
But still. TV Land? You ever watch TV Land? All right,
no,
what's going on?
I'm 19. Well, actually, kind of a weird thing. I know everything always goes back to trauma, but I've never been traumatized. But I've fantasized ever since I was, like, little, and I mean little, like 5 or 6, about, like, getting tied up or overpowered or that type of thing. Yeah. And I just recently started having sex, and my boyfriend is a very passive guy, and I really like it when he does that. And he'll do it every now and then, but I like it a lot. And it doesn't make any sense to me because I've never been traumatized.
That wouldn't necessarily go to trauma. Women generally have a tendency towards wanting to be, let's call it, swept away.
Right.
And if you add to that any kind of discomfort with your sexuality, some women get the feeling that it's okay. I can really unleash my sexuality if it's out of control. If I'm not in control of it, I can't help it. I'm tied up. It's being done to me.
I have the most fun when I'm fighting back because it feels like I can do anything.
Right, and that's not an unhealthy thing. That's fine, but you're gonna have trouble with the guys that can't oblige.
Yeah, I'm a relatively good girl.
No,
sorry,
I mean,
but
this
how
guy,
old are you?
19.
You're 19.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking the statistically speaking, you won't marry to the fifth next guy. The next fifth person is gonna be the guy you're gonna marry. And so there's 4 guys you're gonna be asking to tie you up, and 2 of them are gonna go, "Hey, what the hell are you talking about?"
Yeah, and you don't have to.
No, I would never actually ask him to do that.
Why not?
I couldn't do that.
Why not?
That's dirty.
Dude, I would tie you up and steal your stereo, because that'd be funny. That just made me laugh. Tie me up, Danny, okay.
the stereo. We've talked about it, like, jokingly, but I don't think he'd ever actually do it.
Sherry, this is what my advice was going to be to you, which is realize it's something you really need in order to feel satisfied in what you're doing, and it's an okay impulse. It's not an acting out. It's not a fetish. It's something you need to really sort of be freed up, and you should feel completely comfortable asking for it. Again, guys, for the most part, are not just obliging. They're just delighted to do what you want them to do. He's not going to think of you differently or anything. They're all about it.
He may think of you differently. He may build a shrine to you.
Right. Right.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Do you orgasm during intercourse?
Yes.
That's something else. I've faked it to make him feel like he's accomplished.
Oh no,
something.
Sherry.
Fingers fake it, don't they?
Yeah, but she needs to. She. I don't know. She. This. you need to assert yourself, will you please? It's everything about you is okay. Don't hide everything and don't make it all about him. Yeah. All right?
Just flat out tell this guy. You know what you know what I would really dig? Tie me up and play a little rough. Now, don't hurt me. Just tie me up, play a little rough.
And then make him step up a little bit. Whatever it is you need to have an orgasm, that's what he needs to do.
It's and if he doesn't do it, call him a bitch and he'll leave.
Again, guys are mortified to think that you're faking. That's like an insult to them. They're all about you telling them what you need to get off. That's what they want to do for you. Yep. Whatever it is. Mary, within reason. Mary, 26.
Hi.
Hey, Mary, what's up?
Hey, I was washing my face.
Oh, my, good timing.
Yeah. Anyhow.
I always wash after the show.
Hi. I have a little problem, and I don't know if it's a problem, if it's something that's going to pass or what. I've been married for 2 years, and just lately, like, I've been feeling very attracted to women. And, like, whenever my husband and I, like, watch porno and things like that, like, I find myself looking at the girl instead of the guy.
And, like, a lot of women do that.
I know I'm not, like, turning lesbian or I don't know. Like what is it? So something that's...
Hold on. There's a couple possibilities here. One is you're just normal. That's what a lot of women do.
A lot of women.
Two, if you're sort of looking for a little chaos in your relationship, you may be sort of trying to bring in a little bit of distance in the intimacy. Some people sort of screw up their relationships unintentionally but intentionally. But it's...
Hello? Hello?
John here?
Hello?
There we go. I don't think you guys heard that, but our satellite
just
glitched.
Just so you know, I wasn't faking that.
Yeah, our satellite glitched. And all we heard was this incredibly loud noise in our ears. You need to realize this is a normal thing, and it doesn't really mean anything.
But see, like, when we're having sex, like, I like sex with my husband and everything, but sometimes in order for me to orgasm, I have to, like, think of a girl sometimes.
I'm still cool.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily means anything. Not necessarily.
It's not anything like...
A lot of women think about females as sort of symbols of sexuality and things that are arousing. It's men aren't exactly the most appealing things on earth.
Yeah, no kidding. But you know what's interesting, Doctor? I hang out in these certain groups, as you know, and a lot of these people are younger than I.
Yes.
You know, a lot of piercings, a lot of tattoos. Mm. They're young, kind of interesting, wild, free spirits, if you will. Mm. And often I will be talking to girls, and the question will come up if they are gay or not. I'll say, are you gay? And she'll say, oh, God, no. I mean, I sleep with women, but
yeah.
That's, well, like, super common today.
If you look at the sexual behaviors of young people, the one thing that has really climbed rather dramatically is female-female acting out.
I couldn't believe. I mean, almost everyone I know.
Yeah, it's really gone up wildly.
Do you think I'm all for it, by the way? Try it out, or like,
no, see, that's
to go away. Or
No.
Am I always going to be frustrated? You know.
Like, oh, now see, if you're really thinking seriously about doing it now it's a whole different thing.
See, because if you were single, I would say try it.
Right, but you're married. Right. So you anything you do outside of that relationship is going to endanger your relationship.
Oh, I know, and like I've kind of
so forget it. Go and look at the porn.
At him, you know, but like playing around and I know that he wouldn't go for me.
Mary,
like,
stop it. Stop. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Now you've put your call in a whole different perspective.
Here's what happens. You go do it with a girl, you're now a cheater. You bring a girl home to your husband, you're now a girl that wonders if your husband liked that girl better than you or if you liked that girl better than your husband. Either way, all sucks.
All chaos, all disaster, all threatening your marriage. Now, if you want the marriage to end, go right ahead.
Right.
But if you is something you want to stay committed to.
I've never seen it work. And it's a fantasy of mine.
Right.
You know, it's a fantasy. I think of all guys.
I've never seen it really work.
I've never seen it work. I could not say with a straight face,
right,
thinking I could say to my wife.
Well, for instance, if it worked,
I'm all about you.
Right. It just, you know, it
doesn't.
Doesn't
work.
You know,
it's a disaster every time.
There you go. All right. 1-800-LOVE-191 is our number. Danny Bonaducci, the one and only Danny Bonaducci. And we're going to take yet one last break. Here we go.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
We'll be right back.
Love Line.
Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci, and let's get right back to the calls. Joey is 26. Joey.
Yes.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yes, how's it going? I guess, first of all, Danny, you rule.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Call the management. Tell them I should live here.
That's right.
We miss you, S-Star. Well, anyways, I'm really considering in getting a penile implant. I really don't like my size, so I my question is, what are the risks?
So you mean an enlargement procedure?
Right, an enlargement, yes.
How are you now? How big are you now?
Well, fully erect, I'm about 4.5 or 5.
About 85% of men are in the sort of 5 to 6.
Dude, that's not terrible.
Yeah. So
yeah, I know Danny has a small one too.
Yes, I do. I guess I've been pretty open about everything. But I got to tell you, 4.5 to 5 inches is not anything to completely scoff at. And let me ask you a question, and something that I've done myself, and not because of size, because of speed, if you will, premature ejaculation when I was growing up. There is no reason to not satisfy a woman first.
Right. Orally, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make sure that the woman is completely satisfied before you even bother worrying about your size problems.
And I have a sense, too, the guys that worry about their penis size are more interested in comparing themselves to other men. And I've never seen a guy that's preoccupied about this that didn't have, more importantly, a problem about their own self-esteem. And sort of your life sort of not going the way you want it to. You're not doing the work you want to do. You don't have a way of sort of feeling good about yourself. You start focusing on your penis, and that becomes the whole story. Now,
This is why you're the doctor. You say all that, and I think this guy just wants a bigger wang.
And so
that's all I got.
And so I've worked with a urologist that I've scrubbed in on this procedure. I've seen it done. I was doing a television show. It's still airing on Strictly Sex and Discovery Health Channel, and scrubbed in on a penile enlargement procedure. And this urologist says his patients are all ecstatic. And what they do is, they cut the tendon that attaches your penis to the pubic bone.
Right.
And then they have you actually carry a weight off the end of the penis, and it ends up extending it about an inch. Then they peel down the skin around the penis and sew in what basically looks like a Pop-Tart, but it's cadaver tissue, and then pull the skin back up again and sew it back in. So you get about another 30% or so increase in girth. So they do work. There is something that gives you about an inch of length and about 30% more.
How long is it between the time you can have this procedure and then you can have sex with your new giant one?
I think it's like 3 weeks. It's not that
so
long.
Not worth it.
It's not that long.
Don't do it, man.
It may be longer. I forget.
Of course it's longer. That's why he's doing it.
Yeah. But Joey, the bigger issue I worry about always is that maybe your life's not going quite the way you want it to, and you got to focus more on that.
Okay.
What are you doing for a living?
Well, I'm a receptionist at a hospital. But I think it's more of a self-esteem issue, I guess.
Yeah, that's more the penis.
Antisocial, and I think having a bigger wang would make me more comfortable, I think.
I don't think it's going to do any of that.
Yeah, it won't, man. Because, first of all, not that many people see it. I'm an exhibitionist, and not that many people see it.
Right. Where do you think it's going to somehow make you more confident? Yeah, for a little while, maybe.
Confidence, yes.
Yeah, but that's only short-lived. You got to focus on meeting people that you want to meet, caring, you know, sort of starting to date women that you're interested in, and get some work going that makes you feel good about yourself.
And I promise you, in the long run, maybe one or two women, because everybody can be cruel, but in the long run, you are not going to run into a string of women who care that you only have a 4.5 to 5 inch penis.
The only call we've had about penis size tonight even was too big. Remember
right,
that?
It was too big. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Ouch is the issue here. Lacey?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. Okay. It's really weird. Every time I have sex, I throw up. Even if it matters if it's good sex or whatever, like my boyfriend, I puke.
How cute. How quaint. I puke. I puke every time I have sex. Wow. How often do you have sex?
I've only ever had sex like 3 times. But
and
could this be the world's weirdest form of bulimia?
Well, that's kind of the path I was going to go down. Do you have a tendency to purge and binge?
No.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Sorry.
What would make you think of
that?
My goodness.
Don't yell at the doctor.
Way off. Okay, Lacey. Do you have any other medical problems?
I have diabetes, but I mean.
All right. And, you know, had you take good care of your diabetes?
Oh, yeah. I go to the doctor. I do my pill stuff, and yeah.
Your pills. So you don't take insulin?
No, I'm type 2.
Oh, really? At 20, type 2? That's kind of weird.
That is weird. But can I ask a question?
Sure.
When you have sex and you vomit, yes. Do you vomit during sex?
No, I get up.
Because, I mean, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but that would hurt my feelings.
I know. My last boyfriend was like, wow, that sucks.
That sucks.
Yeah.
He was impressed with what he did. Wow, right. I did that? It's awesome. You know, there's something called diabetic gastroparesis.
Okay.
Where your stomach doesn't empty normally. It's part of a generalized neuropathy associated with diabetes. Okay. Do you have numbness in your feet or your hands?
No. It's early on in diabetes. I just had it like 2 months ago.
All right. But it may have been around for a while. And sometimes type 2, when you don't keep it under tight control, you can get neuropathy rather early. Some people.
Okay.
And the stomach doesn't empty normally. It doesn't push the food out. So it can sit there in any kind of funny stimulation. Even just lying down, sometimes up it comes. So certainly you're having sex, you're lying down, you're doing a Valsalva maneuver, you're bearing down.
So possibly, what if she were on top?
So I'm being on top, so things aren't right. So gravity's working on your behalf is an interesting idea. My other line of question needs to be about your sort of emotional connection with sex. Do you feel okay about it?
Well, when I was 15, the first time I ever had sex or whatever, I was raped, so...
All right, there's
a big no right there.
Yeah, we'll take that as a no.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's sort of an emotional reaction, almost like a post-traumatic stress disorder associated with sexuality, you think?
I think that's what's wrong. I don't know, but I really feel bad because, like, last night my friend was like, wow, that's not cool.
Well, I cannot help you with the trauma except to be terribly sorry for you. But I can tell you this as a guy. Here's what you want to do the next time you have sex and then puke. You want to look right at the guy and go, oh, my God, that never happened before. You definitely want to do that. A guy will fall for that so fast. I don't mean to be rude here, but my wife has hair extensions sewn in. And we were doing it one night like crazy.
I'm sure she loves it.
And her hair fell off. And I thought I was like a god. I thought, yeah, did her till her hair fell out. Right on. So really, just tell the guy this never happened before. He'll think, wow, I did it till she puked. I'm like a god. I'm glad I could be of assistance. Thank you.
All right, but Lacey, you may want to get some help with this. I'm suspicious that if you're in a stable relationship, he's waving to his wife now. Way to go, Danny. She's going to kick your ass when you get out of here. That if you're able to have sex without having sort of that panic and all that sort of intense feeling associated with it, if you feel stable and comfortable and your boyfriend kind of takes it easy and you let him know that you have sort of an intense emotional reaction, you're still getting over something. It's literally like almost like fear of flying. You can learn to have these experiences without evoking all this horrible feeling. Uh-huh. It can be sort of unlearned, let's say. And if you can do it, great, go ahead and do it. If you can't, that's the time to get some professional assistance with this. It's probably not going to be something that's regarded...
MD, PhD?
Either, really. Probably more in the line of therapist, PhD,
really?
LCSW, that kind of thing, MFT. And it's not going to be years and years of treatment. It's going to be something that just sort of helps you unlearn. So
it's going to turn out to be broccoli. That's it. The guy's going to go, dude, it's broccoli. Don't eat broccoli.
Well, and also talk to your diabetologist, your doctor, about the possibility that maybe you have this thing called diabetic gastroparesis. There's something called Reglan. There's these medicines that can help empty your stomach more readily. Danny Bonaducci, we need yet another break. The wall phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
Does it for Loveline. Danny, thank you so much for joining us.
I don't want to go.
Well, don't worry. I know we'll be seeing you again soon.
Right.
Gretchen, thanks for coming in with us. I know it's painful to hear your husband talk the way he does.
I've heard it all before. I'm so used to it.
Well, it's good. It's nice to have you, too, because it's you're part of that show. You're a big part of that show, and it's nice to hear your thoughts about it. And I'm surprised. Do people stop you on the street, too? And
no, I am totally flying under the radar.
Yeah, they will be. This show's very popular. Congratulations on the success.
Thank you.
And I hope there's another season. We look forward to it. It's Breaking Bonaducci. Check VH1.com for airtimes. And we've got tomorrow night exhibit. And until then, this is Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I know Danny has a small one, too.
Yes, I do. I guess I've been pretty open about everything.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.